Captain Henry Evelyn Arthur Platt. Diaries and Letters of a First World War Officer in the 19th Hussars and 1st Coldstream Guards. Killed in action on May the 15th, 1916. Compiled and edited by William Bridge. Birth. Henry Evelyn Arthur Platt, known as Evelyn to his family, was born on the 13th of September, 1884, at 111 Queen's Gate, Kensington, in London. His mother was Agnes Elizabeth Roberts, who was born in 1857 at Kilmoney House, County Cork, and was the daughter of Lieutenant Colonel Roberts of Rennie, County Cork. His father was John Harold Platt, who was born on the 18th of May, 1855, at Werneth Park in Oldham, and who was the eighth child of 13 of John Platt. He was educated at Harrow and St. John's, Cambridge. He married in 1879 and became a Justice of the Peace and Deputy Lieutenant of Kent, as well as a JP for Anglesey. His father, John Platt, was the Liberal MP for Oldham from 1865 until his death in 1872, and was the chairman of Platt Brothers, which designed and manufactured machinery for the textile industry, achieving success at the Great Exhibition in 1851 and becoming the largest machinery maker in the world in the 1850s. He had an older brother, John Ernest Hodder Platt, who was born in September 1880 in Holyhead, Anglesey, near the then family home at Bodier, Roscollen, Anglesey. From 1884 to 1889, they resided at Dern Park near Tunbridge in Kent, but according to his journal, written in 1903, the home was on clay soil, which did not suit his mother's or father's health, and so the family moved to Grosvenor Place in London. By 1891, at the age of 6, he was living with his family at 31 Pont Street, Belgravia, London. They had 10 servants, a housekeeper, a nurse, a housemaid, 3 kitchen maids, 2 footmen, a scullery maid, and a hall boy. In 1894, they moved to 44 Cadogan Square, and by 1906, his parents were living at 63 Prince's Gate, London. He wrote in his journal of a loving mother, an indulgent father, and the most beautiful country in the world as a home. School. When he was 7, he went to a day school in Thurlow Square, before moving, aged 9, to Park Hill School in the New Forest. He started at Eton when he turned 13, as a member of Hugh McNaughton's class. During his first term at Eton, when reading in bed with a candle standing on a chair next to his bed, he fell asleep. The bedclothes caught fire and were extinguished by another boy, Henderson, who threw a jug full of water over them. Evelyn was left with a scar on his left arm. At Eton, he wrote that he had few friends, but what he had were good. He enjoyed his public school life, in his own queer way, talking only to the boys he was interested in, and making 2 friends and a half. When about 15, he first began an attempt at serious reading, instigated by his friend Brian. He liked Thackeray by 15 and a half, Tennyson by 14, and George Bernard Shaw at 16, especially the play Arms and the Man. He wanted to appear in private theatricals, but something always prevented it, but wrote many plays. Mathematics he found a drudgery, being slow of comprehension. Greek, at least Homer, he liked. Latin, he tolerated. When in army class, he liked, and was fairly successful, at history. He wrote that, at nothing did he excel. A dismal mediocrity was his rule, despite achieving a highly impressive fifth place in a form of 32 in his examination of 1899. In his schoolwork of Lent 1900, he achieved 452 marks out of 770, coming sixth out of 32. During his last 2 years at Eton, he worked as hard as he could, and contrary to all expectations, passed in with enough marks for the infantry. Thinking, however, he was too much of an idiot to get into the infantry, he put his name down and entered into Sandhurst on the guards list. He developed an interest for art and corresponded with Hugh Benson, who sent him an interestingly bizarre picture embossed on an envelope in 1901 of a mythical animal. Sandhurst, an entry into the 19th Hussars. Sandhurst he liked not at all. He hated gym, as he was weak and never had done any before. He liked the riding in a way, but loathed topography. 4 hours twice a week of absolute and entire hell. He was placed 126th on entering Sandhurst, passed his first examination in 55th place, and came 28th in his final examination, passing out with honours, having written the fourth best history paper. He tried unsuccessfully to transfer from the Guards to the infantry, but instead managed to enter the cavalry, the 19th Hussars, in January 1903. He specifically looked at regiments that were not going to India, as it seemed pointless to go there and ruin one's constitution for no reason. Death of parents. On the 1st of November 1909, he wrote, "Mother is very ill. I feel very helpless, as we seem to be able to do nothing except cheer her up a bit. She has been bad, practically in bed the whole time from diabetes since July, and now she seems no stronger, or the blood no clearer." Later, in March 1910, while in Aldershot, he wrote, "My dear mother died on Xmas Day. The poor darling had the most dreadful pain and discomfort to suffer. 2 days before she died, she sent for Ernest and me to come to her separately. She said, 'My son, you have been very good to me,' and she kissed us goodbye. Father was splendid. He slept in her room almost to the end." 3 years later, his father died in London on 20th of December, 1912. Marriage. On the 15th of July, 1911, he married Ella Carmichael at Holy Trinity, Brompton, and they went to Hayling Island for their honeymoon. He had known and corresponded with Ella since 1907. They lived briefly in Aldershot and had a son, John Evelyn Platt, who was born on the 18th of June, 1912, at Trelawney, Cargate, Aldershot, and was baptised on the 21st of July, 1912, at the Holy Trinity, Brompton. They moved to Kingwood, Thamesstitton, and he was a keen supporter of Molesley Amateur Swimming Club, becoming vice president. Promotion to captain and outbreak of war. In June 1912, he was promoted to captain in the 19th Hussars. He served in France and Belgium with his regiment from the onset of the First World War in August 1914. The regiment was split up, with A squadron attached to the 5th Infantry Division, B squadron to the 4th, and C squadron to the 6th Infantry Division as divisional cavalry squadrons. All three divisions moved to France with the British Expeditionary Force and saw action in the Battle of Le Cateau, the retreat from Mons, the Battle of the Marne, the Battle of the Aisne, and the Battle of Armentières. The Battle of Le Cateau was fought on the 26th of August 1914 after the British, French and Belgians retreated from the Battle of Mons and had set up defensive positions in a fighting withdrawal against the German advance at Le Cateau-Cambrésis. It is considered that Le Cateau is amongst the most successful holding actions in British military history, ranking alongside the Battle of the Imjin River during the Korean War in terms of its strategic effect. The Battle of the Marne was fought between the 5th and 12th of September 1914. It resulted in an Allied victory, with the battle effectively ending the month-long German offensive that opened the war and had reached the outskirts of Paris. The counterattack along the Marne River forced the German army to abandon the von Schlieffen plan and its push on Paris and retreat northeast, with the Battle of the Aisne beginning on the 13th of September, where the Germans held a highly defensive position with the British order to dig in and beginning trench warfare. The Battle of Armentières, 13th of October to the 2nd of November, was part of the Race to the Sea campaign, with each side trying to outflank each other, where the British successfully held the line in their sector against repeated German assaults. The following letters to his wife and diary entries detail his time in the war. Evelyn's first letter of World War I on the 23rd of August 1914. Rouen. Just a line in the train. We are all going strong, but have seen no fighting yet, as we aren't joined up with our little push. A most extraordinary coincidence has happened in the whirligig of time. We crossed the absolutely calm sea to Havre, to find ourselves next morning steaming up a river that we both know well. Only this time, not as strangers on auto do we come, but as welcome guests. At each little village, house or hovel, they have turned out to cheer, and vive l'Angleterre, to which we respond by vive la France, and variations of the Marseillaise and Rural Britannia. The sun shining and the men singing gives an extraordinary feeling of peace. Impossible to realise this is war. We are like old Joe Sedley, bucking away about what we'll do. At last we heave to, I won't say where, although I expect you in England all know by this time. We know the place well, but it is extraordinary, and when we took the high-level road leading to a cul-de-sac, we passed within half a mile of our camp. All next day, frantically busy drawing rations and squaring up things. Next morning, en route for the train from which I write. Now I've given nothing away, have I? When we arrived at the port of embarkation, we were ushered into a big shed where we stopped for 5 or 6 hours solid. Then we went into another shed. Finally, late at night, we started work. We could not before, as the place was littered with stores, which had to be loaded up first. When I saw the boat first, I could have sworn we'd never get in. But by really marvellous ingenuity, the ship has been filled up, employing every hole and cranny. They, say the Navy men, are so much more efficient than the army. The two naval embarkation officers were a beastly nuisance. I think they'd been dug up from the reserve. However, when they went to bed for a rest, we got on first rate. What we don't know about slinging horses isn't worth knowing. One lot we slung in slings, the other in those horse boxes, as the hold was so small the horses would have banged against the sides if in the slings. No very amusing incidents. We had to shoot in Black Knight by a patent of my own, which consisted of a rope round his quarters and four strong men on each end. Quite painless and very efficient. He is an old card. When we tried to induce him to enter the horse box to sling him out the other side, he wasn't for it again, put his ears back and opened his mouth. However, I just wheezed him. We held a rope round his quarters. He thought he was going to be shot in and went like a bird. The poor dray horses looked like little frightened old ladies in aeroplanes. At last we were all aboard and the ship started. No room for the men to stand hardly. The officers luckily had bunks. A very pleasant gunner on board discussed things in general. We both agreed that if mobilization is not to wear out the unit commander, he ought to employ two extra clerks who never leave the office, the sergeant major never to leave the office, and two orderlies to be continuously on duty. So much for that. Dull but useful if we have to do that again. When we reached the other side, we made a great effort and fairly heaved the horses out. This time, the staff did not interfere, but let us work on our own. Nothing exciting the next day, the men getting first-class rations. Monsieur J still damned lazy. Guy Horn's solution of his character is that his married life has absorbed all his energies. He has defeated me up to the present, but I think I'll thwart him yet. My department is the feeding of the men, and I mean to do all I can to carry this out. I must not tell you where I am going, but the great thing is, we're all fit and well, God say thank. I think these people here are all glad to see us, and a thing we never realized over in England, but the very fact of French people actually seeing English soldiers on French soil has done an enormous amount of good. True, our army is miserably small in numbers, but I do feel sure the French morale is strengthened by the knowledge of us being with them. Nesper? World War I Diary, from embarkation to the 6th of September, 1914. 18th of August, 1914. Arrived Southampton. At work all night, slinging horses into hold. 19th of August, 1914. Arrived Rouen. Allowed to run own show, so things went much smoother and quicker. Horses damn fresh. Impossible to peg them down with regulation allowance of heel shackles. This fact all cavalry have commented on. Chasing loose horses all night. Nearly kicked in the head by a transporter. Glad when day broke, as men standing to. 20th of August, 1914. Pegged horses down. Had hell of job drawing rations in the afternoon. No central depot. Dined at Pleasant Cafe. 21st of August, 1914. Left Rouen about midday. Arrived Orny, 2:20 a.m. Difficulty saddling up quickly after leaving train due to saddles being mixed. Head down in field near station. No definite orders from 5th Division. No staff officer or orderly to receive us. Here they have marched to Beauvais. Therefore, got on bicycle as being quicker than horse on road, and biked like the deuce to get in touch. Alphonse saying he would bring on squadron slowly to Babet when they had watered, fed, and the men breakfasted. Arrived Babet, only to find 5th Division had gone on. Biked on, heat terrific, passing troops of 5th Division. Heat seemed to have very bad effect on men, very many falling out. At last caught up with 5th Division HQ, just south of Dower. Sir Charles Ferguson, very pleasant and pleased to see a representative of his divisional cavalry. Sufficient if we join up this evening at Dower. So biked back to Babet in blazing heat, or rather south edge of it. Saw more stragglers, washed at a cottage, and had a divine drink. The squadron came along about an hour afterwards. 23rd of August, 1914. I was up all night trying to get supplies of oats, etc. for horses. As had no sleep this night and night before, I was no use for work in morning. Memo. Impossible to work all night and fight all day. Will regret this always. Alphonse left me to square up things and look after wagons. The squadron sent on reconnoitering mission with the divisional cyclists. During the day, 3 or 4 men of Settle's troop returned dismounted. Apparently his troop had run against a biggish mass of German infantry. The lead horses had got away, this somewhere near Hautrag. The men delighted that the Germans are such rotten shots. Alphonse collected all the led horses bar 5. One man left wounded with the RAMC. Had magnificent dinner prepared for the boys, but they did not return. Dined myself at the brew, but wished I was with the squadron. Spent most of the night waiting for supplies. When drawn, pulled all pegs, etc., and took the lot down to the squadron at Alluge. They had a long day and a bad billet. Men rather beat. Impressions now abroad that an enormous mass of Germans advancing with inconceivable rapidity. Poor Guy Horn was captured when on patrol. I believe dismounted, writing a message. They say he emptied his revolver into them. 24th of August, 1915. Spend the morning going round our position, searching for ammunition cart, which has been lost. Had a good chance of seeing our infantry's position, which was grotesquely bad, at least the parts that I saw. Rounded up the ammunition cart at last, and sallied out with bread and meat for the squadron, which luckily struck about 1 mile north of Dower Station. The squadron that morning were on the lookout north. That afternoon, they were told off to assist the counterattack led by the Norfolks. This attack naturally failed, as it was against a force about 10 times as strong. Alphonse, on his own retirement, covered the retirement, and from what I can gather, prevented about 300 men from being made prisoners. Meanwhile, I was back at Dow with the transport. I had gathered in the morning that things were not going too well, so was standing to, getting no orders, and went down to HQ to find them shifty. Away with us out of the farm, and with Sir Charles' permission, joined up with the ambulance, which were retreating down the road. The RAMC men loitering there all over the road and stopping to drink made the march about 1.5 miles an hour. I made it my duty to personally explain to the OC that the knock was pretty bad. Trekked, not knowing exact destination, turning west along the frontier at Addis. About here, the Lewes Brigade met us. The officers and men, covered from head to foot with black dust, but cheerful, as if they were coming from a long valley parade. I learnt later they had been fairly hammered by the German shrapnel. Also, that swords were not drawn. Unlimbered at Argin-le-Petit, as horses beat. Found 5th Division east of St. Wals at 1 a.m. Found A Squadron within 200 yards of their HQ. I tried to keep awake by walking and pinching myself every way, but fell asleep just north of Le Cateau to find the squadron gone on. Try to find squadron. 26th of August 1914. Delille put in an appearance. 27th of August 1914. Arrived St. Quentin. 28th of August 1914. Trekked with squadron which did flank guard. Very hot. 31st of August 1914. Marched to Compiègne. Our squadron told off to escort Sir John French to Guillot Court. He made speech to men, horses groomed for first time, it seems, for years. 1st of September 1914. Marched 4:30 a.m. Eventually camped Montauvert. Thought we were getting damned close to Paris. 2nd of September 1914. Moved off with brigade, squadron doing rear guard, struck a motor driver, camped up there, good farm. 3rd of September 1914. Marched to Gourney, a bloody march. Delille cut transport down, had to do it in blazing sun, all muddled up with other troops. Lots of good stuff went to the base. Delille, the most tiring man on earth, was in charge of wagons before going into bivouac. A man said, that's the only thing he can do. I'm getting sensitive. A damn tiring day. Rations came in very late. 4th of September 1914. Spent morning getting pay for men from cavalry division. A lengthy business. Supposed to be a rest day, but a lot of refitting during afternoon. Compensated for by God's own bar in the Marne. Worth a million. French cavalry look efficient. The first good night I've had. Horses and men completely rested. 5th of September 1914. The next morning, a peace march. That bloody Delille playing all sorts of monkey tricks, trumpet calls, fences. He did in 2 of our horses completely, and God knows how many more. Damn his eyes. Men dead beat. No arrangement for water. Hell, and needless hell. G joined us. He is a champion. That night I had 2 troops at Les Loges. A2 at Keys. HQ and half a battalion La Fenette. Comfortable clean farm, but got no sleep but half an hour. Put up first-rate wire entanglement and pulled out that bloody fool thieves horse out of ditch. A good yarn. 6th of September 1914. Joined up with A in morning. Got supplies from him. Pleasant to feel the colonel is worrying about us. Criticism. I should not have off-saddled last night. Held gap from Bois Blanderrier towards Beaulieu. Damned hot. These troops got rather forward and had a narrow squeak.